This is GKW. Welcome to a WrestleMania preview edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. Whole crew here tonight as we have Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, as well as Busted Open Radio Sunday mornings, 9 to noon Eastern Time. He is Jonathan Hood. Quick programming note here before we dive into the WrestleMania preview. Going to be a little bit of a different schedule around WrestleMania for us. So we have today's show, obviously, and then we will be doing live shows on Saturday, live shows on Sunday. Brian is going to be at WrestleMania in Las Vegas, giving us live reaction from there. And no regular show next week, NFL Draft, which is in my neck of the woods in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Everybody's got some draft responsibilities, so no show Thursday. Instead, we are going to be doing a live show after the Raw, after WrestleMania on Monday. So make sure you keep it tuned to your favorite podcast, or just check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. All right, let's dive into the show of the immortals. Two nights this year, once again, night one, night two, Saturday and Sunday. We have all four world championships, two on the men's, two on the women's, that are up for grabs. And it seems like going in that all four seem likely to drop. So of those four, let's rank them from most likely to least likely to retain on Saturday and Sunday at WrestleMania. Again, the champs on the men's side, Gunther is the world champ, Cody the WWE champ, Io the WWE champ, and then Tiffy is the world champ on the women's side. Most to least likely, 1 through 4, what do you boys have?
Okay, most likely to least likely. Okay, so most likely to lose, we will start with Gunther.
Oh, most likely retain. Most likely to retain. So most walking out of retain. WrestleMania, most likely to retain.
Because I believe betting-wise, all four champs are underdogs coming into the weekend.
Okay, so let me just throw a Molotov cocktail into the works and say Tiffany Stratton will retain.
Ooh.
How about that? I think that based on everything we've heard from Triple H this week, I think he's ready to kind of tear up some scripts and just kind of go the other way. How about Tiffany Stratton retaining against Charlotte Flair? Charlotte doesn't have to win at WrestleMania. It's not necessary. And by the way, even though they've done great work as of late, does it mean that Tiffany has to lose unless she's punished by the company based on that promo? I don't know. But how about a little bit of a switch of Tiffany retaining with a roll-up?
I'd be fine with that. I think for me, most likely, I go the other women's side. I think Io, who's basically been forgotten, who's been complained about as being a part of that triple threat. We all want Bianca versus Rhea. And literally and figuratively, Io's sort of been pushed to the side. Her winning, I think, could do a lot for her. And to your point, someone like Rhea taking a loss doesn't hurt her at all.
Yeah, I had Io as my number two. My most likely to retain, I still said Gunther. Okay. I think that ultimately, again, Jay does win that match, but I could, of the four, I was more easily able to talk myself into Gunther retaining and continuing him as this dominant champion, which is, again, something that Triple H has liked to do since he's taken over. He's had these long title reigns. And so switching all four at WrestleMania, I could talk myself into Gunther still being this dominant champion beyond WrestleMania. Again, even though I agree with the odds where it does not seem likely that any of the four are going to retain.
Gabe, I want you just to imagine that Gunther finds a way, as I mentioned, he's the Jokic of WWE, where he goes on a 14-0 run at the end of the game, and then that's it, right?
Yep.
He just goes just like that. That's what he does, because usually the way it works is he's on his heels, and all of a sudden, clothesline, body slam, some kind of submission move, and then it's over, just like that, right? Mm-hmm. I want you to imagine in Las Vegas, a quarter of the fans taking their coats and going up the stairs and leaving if Jay doesn't win. After all of that, of the yeeting, I would just like to see the fans like, you know what? This is not for me. My guy didn't win, so long. And they start leaving.
Isn't that the opening match on Saturday?
Yeah, like, we know. Match number one, main event Jay, match number one of a two-day event.
And like, losing would be amazing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the positioning on the card kind of makes me think that maybe Gunther is going to be walking away the champ on Saturday. And then everyone going, oh, man, that sucked. But then you've got whatever else is going to be coming after that. You still have the triple threat to look forward to that night.
I like the idea that everyone's yeeting all the whole entrance because it's going to take 30 minutes. Yep. And then Jay loses, and then Tom is like, Mildred, that's it. We're out of here. Get the keys. Out. After all that,
good money on those tickets. These are not cheap Mania tickets. I don't know if they can do that.
I'm just telling you that that would be amazing. And it's like now the fans would say, well, we're never going to believe in Jay. Main event Jay Uso keeps losing to the champ. So I guess it's never going to happen for Jay. Main event Jay.
Yeah, but they get the fans right back. You have LA Knight come out for match two, and all of a sudden the fans are back into it, and then he loses also.
I was about to say, but people do love Jacob Batu. Yeah. Like, people do, LA Knight, again, if he were to lose his match, it wouldn't be as bad because people love Batu and, mm-hmm. and the Samoan Werewolf. Like, he is pretty over as well.
I mean, I have Gunther 2 on my list. I have EO 1, Gunther 2. There is more storyline there. It does feel like with them being in the opening match, there might be some buyer's remorse with Jay winning the Rumble and be like, oh, this isn't working. Because even you get the emotional promo 2 weeks ago, and then this week we're right back to the same yeeting and standing in the announce table and doing the same thing over and over again. Like, it ain't working.
You know what I think? I thought about this going into the show. I said, you know, Jay Uso is kind of like – kind of like a rapper or some kind of artist that may not be like the greatest on the mic when you have an interview, but he gets the crowd going. We sure. know a lot of people like that, right? Just like, you know what? That guy has just got charisma and he's cool. And I like his hits, whatever his hits are. I think that that's different than a wrestler, Gabe, where it's just like a wrestler tells you what he's going to do. He's got 5-star yeah. matches, all this stuff. Jey Uso is just this guy that's got this charisma. People like him because he's cool. He's got the glasses. He says yeet. He's got a catchphrase. It's kind of it. Some people like that.
Yeah, and look, despite all the bitching and moaning from Brian Rowitz over the years about Jey Uso, he does connect with the fan base.
Yeah.
And has, by the way, connected with Brian Rowitz's son, who has yeeted very recently at a Marlins game. Instead of doing the wave, his son decided to get those hands up and just yeet.
He is very big in the 10-year-old community, the 9-year-old, however old my kid is. I told Hood, my flight over here, there's a grown man in a Jey Uso shirt and pants. I had to bite my tongue a little bit. I was like, sir, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here? Says journalist Brian Rowitz.
That's right.
I mean, it is undeniable the connection that Jay has and has had with yeah. the audience. Like, that is undeniable, whether you're a fan of him, whether you're not a fan of him. Like, he has the crowd in the palm of his hand every time he goes out there.
Yeah. Okay, so we have differences at one. What's the next step, guys, as far as most likely to retain?
Well, again, that's where I had EO at 2.
I have Gunther at 2.
Like, I still just – and again, like, 4 is Cody, right? Like, nobody right. actually believes Cody's winning this.
I have Cody at 4, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's all agreement that because can you imagine if Cody wins? Like, what the hell do we do with the rest of the Cena retirement tour?
And Rock, and he turns back to being a face?
At the end of the year, yes.
Like, Rock's disappointed in him, and you do stuff that way? There's nothing to do for Cody after that, but maybe?
Yeah, like Cody, I mean, Cody has to lose this.
Yes.
Like, just, it's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah. There's money in the chase. Again,
yeah. So, and Tiffy, again, she, we discussed the promo where everything went off the rails, but before that, she was pretty underwhelming.
Yeah.
And everything leading up to that, like, so I had Tiffy at 3.
So squeaky. Your voice is so squeaky.
It just, I feel like her losing this weekend, which I think she will, it definitely takes a lot of the wind out of her. And, like, I feel like it's a while until we see her back in this big time of a spot.
But how about a roll up 1, 2, 3 and then keep this thing going? Like, I don't need Charlotte to be champion right now. She doesn't. Charlotte, you know, you talk about Tiffy. Charlotte, outside of some boos, is she really getting the reaction to, it's like, I got to see her in the ring?
No.
We just want to see her talking and talk herself into a hole again. That's it. I mean, I'm not trying to see her come back and to be on top again in the women's division. It's time for something new.
They booked her though to be the strong badass, like on SmackDown on Friday night. like they booked her stronger. Again, maybe that's the old swerve. You know, she's the one who's going to be standing on top, and then it ends up being Tiffy going over at Mania. We'll see what happens this Friday. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm guessing SmackDown, and I am not, by the way, this is a criticism of WWE, but I'm completely fine with it. Like Raw was completely skippable. Raw was completely skippable on Monday, but also this close to WrestleMania, I completely understand putting everybody in bubble wrap and not doing anything risky because you don't want to mess up the cards that you've put together over the last handful of months. So Raw, it was skippable, but I'm completely fine with that because we're too close to WrestleMania and you don't want to mess anything up.
You got the Andre Battle Royal Friday night, though. See who gets that big trophy. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome.
Great.
So excited.
I guess if we're going to add on here, Liv and Raquel, we believe that they will retain if we're going to extend it out more. I think Bayley's heel turn is coming.
Yeah.
I don't like makeshift teams normally, and this Bayley thing just got hot because they went through the women's tag team turmoil thing, and so Bayley and Lyra, it's fine, but I think that Bayley's going to turn here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's going to give – that's going to give Lyra something, right? Like it, hopefully that starts to build. Cause I know that's been a big criticism of her on our show. Like, okay, why do I care about Lyra? And hopefully a Bayley heel turn will give us more reason to care about her and her Intercontinental Championship run.
I'll also say title match wise, the IC title. I feel like you make case for any four of them. I think Dom wins, but I'd be okay with any of those four winning this weekend. Braun, Penta, Finn, and Dom.
Damn it! Can Braun hold on to the title for a minute? For God's sakes, 2-time champion within 12 months. Christ!
I don't know. Dom in the title run. That's some fun heat right there.
Dom should be champion. Sure, he's done great work.
Yeah.
But I mean, Braun is doing some tremendous things, man. I think one show we had to break this down of like him against Rick against Scott Steiner, and just as far as athleticism and things that he's done, he's been spectacular, some of the things he's done.
Everyone else I think can from doing spears as long as he's on the roster, because it's not going to compare to him. So just retire that from your moveset, Jay.
I mean, I don't, but also with Braun, I also feel like he doesn't need the IC title anymore. Yeah. Like, I don't know if he's ready for a run at one of those championships. I don't know if he's quite there yet. Maybe he takes a run at Gunther if Gunther retains or goes after Jay. I'm not sure, but he doesn't need the IC championship. You can do some cool stuff with him and continue to build him up because he's going to be he's a future world champion in the making, mm-hmm. You know? So I think he can leave the IC championship behind and still like, it's not going to hurt him if he loses this match. And then he shows up on the Raw after WrestleMania and spears the hell out of someone to set up his next opponent without the championship. I think we can have some fun with that.
Well, here's some fantasy booking. You have to do some massaging and they don't care about shows anyway. He could drop the IC title, and then he could pursue Jacob Fatu's U.S. title.
Sure. I mean, the draft is supposed to be shortly after Mania here.
There we go. Fatu versus Braun. Let's go.
Sure. I mean, you got a million titles there. Just take them all. It's way too many titles in WWE, but that's fine. I think the last one is War Raiders and New Day. New Day, do they have to have the championships? Can't the War Raiders win this one? Give them a spot?
Feels like New Day has to win.
Yeah. Woods has never won a WrestleMania match. I saw that number floating around this week. He's like 0-6 all time at Mania.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It feels like New Day kind of needs that win to at least try to not squander what they've already squandered.
Yep.
There you have it. It's a lot of championships and some are not defended at WrestleMania, which we'll get to later on.
That's right.
All righty. We've got to get to some other top stories. Maybe sprinkle in a little AEW as well, as it is WrestleMania week. We called the three count, top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. What do we have at number one this week, Brian?
Let's go over to the world of AEW. Last night, a historic Dynamite, the longest running primetime show on Turner Sports. They passed Nitro. So when you look back on it, will AEW be remembered more fondly than WCW?
I can't imagine the answer to this is going to be yes, because the Attitude Era is just romanticized to such a level among pro wrestling fans, and they had their run. Like, I cannot imagine a world where AEW is able to overtake WWE as the more popular wrestling company. Like, I just don't see it. And, you know, again, you've got Eric Bischoff, who released the most backhanded, like, compliments and, you know, release or whatever he did yesterday ahead of it. But to his credit,
by the way, said, I don't watch anymore. But, yeah, congrats to them. They've done a good job.
Pretty much, yes. Like, yeah, I don't watch anymore. All right, then I don't have to hear you criticize it anymore, Eric. Like, you're not watching. I don't have to listen to you criticize it. Sweet. But, and again, Eric still lives off of, he named his podcast 83 Weeks, for crying out loud, right? Like, he's still living off of them going over WWE in the ratings 30 years ago at this point. But, to their credit, AEW is never going to go over WWE the way WCW did, even though it was for only 83 weeks. So I'm guessing WCW will always be looked at a little bit more fondly, despite AEW being a longer running company.
Yeah. So first of all, it's hats off to AEW for a number of reasons. Number one, to be able to still have a viable television contract with Turner, to be on both channels on TBS and TNT. That's awesome for them. We have seen some five-star matches, however you want to describe them, great matches for AEW on television and non-pay-per-view. So that shows that that's an alternative to WWE. And again, the AEW does business differently than WWE. And we saw in Boston, I mean, I got Takeshita and I got Will Ospreay on TV, and it was a tremendous matchup, right? So this is how they've been able to establish their niche in the marketplace. But keep in mind that with WCW under Bischoff, Kip Fry, on and on and on, with all these people that were running the company under Bill Watts, all these guys, the number one thing that AEW never got is they never had Hulk Hogan. And they never had Hulk Hogan turn heel and have the NWO run roughshod to help Eric Bischoff and WCW get 83 weeks. I know they're not head-to-head, AEW with WWE, and that's a dangerous proposition. You probably would never want to do that. But I want to give WCW their flowers. That's how they'll be remembered, is WCW was able to be in the height of the Monday Night War, Nash, Hall, Luger, the NWO, all the things that they were able to do. They've had tremendous television. And so WCW will be remembered. At this point in time, will be much more remembered than AEW.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, last night's Dynamite was a pay-per-view, and I don't think it's crazy to say that there's nothing this weekend at Mania wrestling-wise that's going to touch the majority of that card last night. Like, sure. Takeshita and Ospreay, Athena on free TV, not behind a paywall, Josh Alexander and Hangman. Like, that card last night was a pay-per-view, and it was a hell of a show. The one thing I'll say, though, I agree with you on that point from, like, the Hogan and that big moment. Is there someone out there that one day could make that jump to where we change our perception of AEW? Because it feels like all these WWE soldiers are blindly loyal, like a Cena, like a Rollins. Like, you got Jericho, which was a name, but is there anyone else out there?
No, but it would have to take, because it's the same thing with Hogan. Like, he wasn't going to leave until he did, right?
Sure.
And the way, like, it would take Roman, right? And the way he's talking, it seems like he's going to be done with pro wrestling within the next 2 or 3 years, and he's going to be moving on. But if acting doesn't go well, are you able to convince Roman to come back? Is he able to make something super memorable with AEW? I'm not sure. But it would take one of those guys that you thought were lifers,
right?
And it would take them coming over.
Some of those stars that we see on WWE that's going to be featured at WrestleMania, they already had their taste of AEW.
Right.
And they didn't move the meter. Like, The Cody Rhodes thing is something that we got to talk about one day, Gabe, Brian, because it's like we were on the air, all of us talking about Cody Rhodes, and just like, I can't believe that AEW fans are just regurgitating, spitting out Cody. Cody, we don't want you. Cody, you're never going to buy for the championship. And now that guy's going to be main event at WrestleMania. You had CM Punk after 10 years gone. He comes back. I was there in Chicago to see his return. And I saw grown men crying. They couldn't believe that CM Punk came back. He was there, and they kept rolling him out there. I went from Chicago to Milwaukee to see CM Punk in his first 2 weeks back, right? And I'm watching just like it's already tired because they didn't know how to book. So it could be Roman Reigns. It could be Goldberg in his prime. It could be anybody else. Does AEW know how to handle those guys? And the answer, a lot of times, is no. Right. They don't know how to book them. Oh, so, like, that's a problem.
Well, I just assumed that Paul would be coming with Roman. Maybe that's a bad assumption on my part. But that's what it would take. But Paul coming over as well and like, hey, using some of his Paul magic, that's what would, you know, potentially change those tides.
I will say the thing with AEW that's going to be remembered most fondly whenever that day comes is like the American audience getting to see guys and girls that they wouldn't have seen if AEW didn't exist. Like the Ospreys of the world, the Elite, like as much as they did, they sold out the Garden and Ring of Honor. Yeah, like Kenny and all that. Like we wouldn't have seen them as much as we did unless you were like a sicko fan. Like we're getting to see those guys on weekly TV. Hangman, Swerve getting the opportunity he's getting right now. Like that is something that when you look back on WCW, yes, you had the names, the Hogans, the Halls, the Nashes, but also a lot of those young stars were squashed there. Like the Jerichos, the Eddies, the Benoits, like they didn't really get their opportunities there. They were squashed. We're getting that in AEW, which ultimately is probably why they never passed the WWE, but at least we get that as wrestling fans.
The revisionist history game is so funny with this on some of these old podcasts because they talk so much about the NWO. Right. And underneath you got Regal and you know, busting his ass, Jericho, yeah. Benoit, like Mysterio. And they look back like 30 years later and say, oh, those are good matches. Yeah, no shit.
Right.
They were good matches. Yeah. Yeah, they were really good. But you kept talking about the NWO and Hogan and pushing them, DDP and everybody else. Like these matches underneath are classics now in AEW. So,
Yeah.
Well, and again, the one thing that at least the one thing I would say AEW has done a better job of than WWE in their first handful of years of existence here, whatever we're at now, they've done a better job of building younger stars. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jade Cargill was built by AEW. Presentation was basically the same as she jumped over to WWE. You know, same thing. I mean, we've talked about how Ricky Starks or Ricky Saints, whatever his name is now, not necessarily the youngest guy. He's actually in his mid-30s, but being presented as basically the same guy over in NXT. I know we're going to get to this later in the show, but it appears that we're going to be seeing, what's her name, jumping from AEW over to WWE. I'm guessing she's going to be presented pretty much the same way.
Yeah.
So AEW's done a pretty good job with some of the young stars that they've had and being able to present them. You know, again, whether that is Will Ospreay, who was pretty young when he started in AEW, whether it is some of these younger women that they have, like Julia Hart. Like WWE, the only young person they've been able to really cultivate and build over the last handful of years is Bron Breakker.
Yep. And I think also, like, AEW's going to benefit from seeing the way WCW died. Like, there's a book out there, The Death of WCW, is one of my favorite wrestling books, and it goes through, like, the last year or so and just the inconsistencies and how terrible it is. As much as we criticize Tony for some of the booking, I don't think we're going to see some of that stuff at the end. Like, David Arquette's not going to be the AEW World Champion one day. So that's, I think, going to prolong this company and keep them top of mind.
I mean, that's tough. That's tough to hear for your boy Paul Walter Hauser. That's really tough news, I think, for you.
He's
I mean,
a real
I hope
wrestler.
You're
Arquette was just a celebrity. That's apples and oranges.
Just so you know, Broitz has already contacted Walter Hausen while he's in Vegas. He's already there. They're going to connect and have a nice lunch, I'm sure. Talk about MLW. You'll break it down with him. It's unbelievable, this guy. No,
he
but
like
I
a
mean,
progress show this weekend.
Yeah. And you'll be there, and please...
Yeah,
send video, please. He'll be there. but as far as WCW, I know we only talk about Bischoff, but it was more than just the Bischoff era. Like, it was so many different people that was around trying to run WCW. It was a mess. WCW was around when Flair was in WWE. People forget about that. It goes back before Bischoff, and it was a mess with Barry Windham as the champion. Like, they didn't know what direction they wanted to go. So I would say – the reason why Bischoff has closed the chapter is because he knows he's gotten beat. He had a nice 83-week run, and then he rested on his laurels and got cocky. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that on Dynamite we didn't see Tony Khan laying on a motorcycle on a Harley with a crown on his head saying, "Look at me."
Yeah.
Like Bischoff
did. More shots. I was surprised by that, actually.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad that they've had their success on Monday nights, as Tony told me, that Dynamite has had a success on Monday. We've been doing it on Mondays and Saturdays.
You have? He's still rattled from the FTR thing. Like, they scared him a little bit.
Mondays. Okay.
What do we got at number two?
All right, Mania this weekend, NXT Stand and Deliver. A lot of multi-man matches. Shawn Michaels talking about the NXT card says, we want to give as many people as we can an opportunity to perform on the biggest weekend of the year. Yes or no? Does everyone deserve a Mania opportunity?
No. The answer to this is plain and simple. It's no. Do a lot of people, you know, earn those opportunities? Absolutely. And you're going to have more opportunities than ever, even if you're in NXT with Stand and Deliver, but more so that there's two nights of WrestleMania now, right? Like you have more of double the airtime to be able to do some of these things that you want to do, but not everybody earns that. Not everybody earns that opportunity to be on the biggest stage of the year. Not everybody earns the right to go to the Super Bowl. Two teams do, right? Like, I mean, somewhere along the way, you have a misstep. Yeah, I understand you want to reward as many people as possible, but at the same time, like, you have to keep in mind the fans and what you're doing. And you don't want to just throw everything to hell. Like, you're telling these nice, clear, concise stories. Oh, but now we got to have a multi-man. Oh, man, we left this person off. I guess we just have to shoehorn them into this situation. And that's unfortunately what we've got at WrestleMania this year. And that's what makes you kind of go, oh, yeah, I'm just not as excited for this because we don't have these clear, concise storylines that we've had, I think.
Yeah, it depends on the promoter. And I've seen this over the years where one promoter will say, man, these guys have busted their ass. We got to get everybody in the card. Matches and Battle Royal, all in the same thing, right? Just make sure everyone's on the card. That's one philosophy. Mm-hmm. The other philosophy is it's like, hey, you know what? These are the most important stories on our show. And so they're going to be presented. I mean, like Shawn Michaels is probably different from Triple H in that regard, clearly different from Triple H. Yeah. Because Triple H feels like, no, I'm good with Chelsea Green, who's done a great job this year, not being on the card. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, because then that's the crazy part, right? Like you're shoehorning people into some of these multi-man matches, and then you've got someone in Chelsea Green who's just busted her ass and like earned every little bit of that U.S. championship. And okay, yeah, we can leave her off.
They made two women's titles, and they're both not being defended. Lyra's in a tag match, and Chelsea's just off the card. Like, how does that make sense?
Do you see why there's too many belts, bro? It's
sure. No, I agree.
Everybody doesn't need to have a championship. So if Chelsea Green can't be on the card, then a lot of other women can't be on the card. I'm just saying, like she's worked hard. Street Profits don't deserve to be at WrestleMania. Street right. Profits. I mean, they were just. I just saw them in an interview before we came on, and they were sheepish about it, trying to cover their eyes. But they're pissed that they're going to be on SmackDown and not on WrestleMania night one, night two, because that hurts even more. Right. That hurts even more. Like, you know, you've got, you know, the Wyatt Six you put a lot of time into. They're just off the card. Solo Sikoa probably will be a second at the ring, but will not be wrestling. So I just think that if you have two nights, Gabe, it's worse. One night's like, okay, you got 10, 11 matches, 12 matches. Okay, I can't get in. Two nights and you can't get on either night, that sucks.
I completely agree. I know we'll never go back to the money. Do we need two nights of Mania?
Two revenues, two gates.
Yeah, yes, I get that part. But from a wrestling and a storytelling standpoint, if you look at this card and turn it into one night, is that the worst thing in the world?
But I would say some years, two nights make sense. Like last year, sure. I would argue two nights was great. This year, like we just mentioned, like, Rey Mysterio and Chad Gable, do they deserve to be on the WrestleMania main events car or main card more than the Street Profits, more than Chelsea Green? I would argue no. Like if they did Rey versus El Grande Americano on SmackDown on Friday, that's more apt for that.
And I agree.
You know, it's like very weird to have the two nights, and then you look at some of like the people left off, like Nia Jax is out there, Sammy's out there, like Solo, who is a prominent part. Like, it's just very odd, the choices they've made.
At least with Sammy, there's like storyline reason, right? Like he's, I don't know if he took time off or whatever, but he's selling the effects of getting the crap kicked out of him by KO, right? So at least I can make that make sense. Like, but some of these other people have been around and been on television at least, right? Like, so that makes it AJ Styles versus Logan Paul. Is that, I mean, I understand it's Logan Paul, so you're going to put him on Mania, but, like, does that need to be?
And to be clear, no dark matches, right?
Not that they've announced. They have, I think, 3 hours of a pre-show, but I don't think they're like the Andre Battle Royal would be made for something like the pre-show. You can say, hey, I worked out there.
And had been before. Yeah.
They're now treating SmackDown as the pre-show.
See, the way, and again, we're talking about how bookers do it differently, guys. So from Tony Khan's standpoint, it's like, okay, I have my main card, which is long, and it's a lot of matches, but they deliver. They more times than not, it delivers until you get to Jon Moxley. But you've got an hour of dark matches or the pre-matches.
Right.
So at least those guys are getting on. And those matches are pretty good too, by the way, to set the card off an hour before the actual pay-per-view.
And if you're Chelsea Green, look, I understand you want to get Randy Orton on this, but I'm assuming it's going to be Aldis versus Orton.
Yeah.
Aldis doesn't deserve a spot.
Right. It's
like Aldis doesn't deserve that. Like, and again, it sucks for Randy, but like, I think he would be one of the first ones to understand, like, hey, bud, it sucks that KO got hurt. We don't have a spot for you right now. And it's not like honestly, KO's been the one who's been carrying that to make it a WrestleMania-worthy match. Like,
yeah, you're just wasting 3 minutes, by the way, because that's all it's going to be. I mean, if that match is going to take place, it's just between commercial breaks. 3 minutes, and then that's it. If that's what the match is going to be, I don't know.
But that's the weird thing. Like I don't want a seven-hour one-night show. Like, we had that in the past where those Manias were a drag, and it was Vince booking, so, like, it wasn't even good to begin with. And it made me to the point where it's like, I don't want to watch WrestleMania every year. Like, they're long cards. They're not good. This year sort of feels like that. Like, you can make a good card with 8 matches in one night, and I'd be a lot more into it.
This is why Gabe is a Royal Rumble guy and not necessarily a Mania guy.
Sure.
Because Royal Rumble gives you – and that's 2 nights, too. I get it. But there's meat to it. There's meat to it. Like, WrestleMania, I know that's going to be for fans and everybody else. They got 2 nights, 2 gates. That's why they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. But to be able to leave, I think – quality on the table, that's bad.
But this is what's going to I mean, WrestleMania I think will be 2 nights, but to expand some of the other ones to 2 nights, man, like, if there are years where WrestleMania doesn't make sense for 2 nights, how are you going to make the Royal Rumble for 2 nights make sense? How are you going to make SummerSlam for 2 nights make sense?
Well,
If you can't make WrestleMania make sense for 2 nights, your biggest show of the year.
Well, it's all of us that are consumers, right? When we stop paying for it, then they'll start doing. But you know, it's a whole weekend thing. That's the whole thing. It's Saturday and Sunday. It's like, oh well, we flew in here, so we might as well watch both nights.
But
we talk about storytelling a lot.
I think we saw that starting with SummerSlam. Like WrestleMania again. WrestleMania 2 nights not going away. People are going to look at SummerSlam and go, man, do I really want to pay for 2 nights, like premium for that? And that's what would kill it. I mean, WrestleMania, again, WrestleMania is such a big event. And for people, like, it's for everybody. Like, WrestleMania used to not be for diehard fans like us. I would argue it's gone the other way with Triple H and his booking. But even, like, Brian, a couple of years ago, I mean, I guess it's more than a couple of years ago at this point, but when it was in New York, like, you had a ton of fun going to all the other shows that were going on. And maybe you'll check out, you know, a little bit of WrestleMania, you know, inside MetLife.
Someone offered me tickets to Mania. I was in New York going all this. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm going to head home. Like, I wanted no part of that. Like, I wasn't going to sit through the 17 hours of it for matches that I don't want to see that are just all sports entertainment. Like, this card, like, we're talking about storytelling. They haven't done a good job making us care about all these matches.
This is an impromptu question that I'm asking you guys, so you may not be ready for it. I'm just looking at it. If you were to make an 8-match one night, what are you cutting? Because right now there's 13 matches. Again, Orton is not official, so right now there's 13 official matches on night one and night two.
So what I'm cutting is the U.S. title. Like, we don't need LA Knight and Fatu. It's sort of thrown together. The tag titles, like, as much as they've dropped the ball with New Day, they're not telling a great story there. The Rey Mysterio match, the women's tag, like, I'd love to see more women's wrestling, but, like, that's just thrown together. Like, hey, look, we have them out there. And the AJ Styles match. And then you have 8 matches that are a good 8 matches that you've actually told stories around.
Because Jade Cargill.
I don't mind them cutting. I don't mind them cutting that? Priest, Mike McIntyre. I can watch that on SmackDown.
I agree. The only reason I wouldn't is just because of Drew. Like, we talk about guys busting their ass year long that deserve an opportunity. It's Drew. This feels like a wasted opportunity for him, but I don't know.
he loses again, it sucks. I don't want to see him lose again. He's not a jobber. You know what I mean? So I think that you hit it. I think that's right, Brian. Yeah, when I look at this, you can have eight matches and have a solid night. And the and then don't forget
SmackDown. Have a really fun night.
SmackDown, and you're already in town, by the way. You're already in town. So SmackDown is 3 hours. You could fill the rest with the 3 hours with Joe Tess, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, because I guarantee you, Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano, like, that would slap with Joe Tess on Friday night. Like, that would be fun on Friday night with Joe Tess calling the action on SmackDown. Like, that'd be a lot of fun. Instead, like, night one, I don't care anything. You know, I guess night one, they're kicking it off with Jey Uso and Gunther because they almost have to. But until we get to Jade Cargill versus Naomi, I'm probably not going to care about anything till the main event. Because I don't even care that much about Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte.
Even the main event we've talked about, like, we care about the Heyman aspect and how it ends, but, like, we know how the match is going to go. It's going to be 45 minutes of entrance and then some of the similar stuff in the middle, and then we're just waiting for whatever Heyman does.
I'm just looking at Joe Tess. El Grande Americano. Rey Mysterio. Yep, that's what it's all about. That's it. Him just smoothly going into the match. Yep, that's what it's all about, folks. Right here. It's like, I can see that right now. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think that we rebooked is what we do. We rebooked WrestleMania to an eight match show. And by the way, fine with it.
Yes. All better.
Oh, it'd be so much fun. Be so much fun. What do we got?
All right, let's wrap it up with Mania. We've talked about it. The two nights, we're days away. What's the one thing you want to see at WrestleMania 41?
I want to see the main event. Like, I'm in. Like, I want to see John Cena. I want to see him go over Cody.
The Mania main event. You in here?
Yeah, sure he is. There's one main event. It's the thing that goes on last. I mean, come on. I understand there's a night one main event and we're trying to make that a thing, but there's one main event of all of WrestleMania, and it's the thing that goes on last and closes out the whole damn show and closes out the whole damn weekend. Like, that's like calling the last song of a play. Like, you go to a musical on Broadway, the last song isn't the grand finale. No, of the first act. No, that ends the first act. The grand finale is at the end. Like, when they're all getting together and singing, you know, singing and doing the song and dance. Cody versus Cena is the main event of WrestleMania 41. And I want to see the match. I want to see if Cena wrestles any differently now as a heel. I just want to see it all, because it's not something that we're used to seeing as with John Cena as a heel. I want to see how Cody reacts after his first loss in, you know, forever at this point. I want to see it all. I want to see how they meticulously tell this story, presumably, again, without The Rock, and with those two going head-to-head to close the whole thing out on Sunday night.
The one thing I want to see is The Rock at WrestleMania. Mm. That's what I want to see. And I want to see which way that he swings. Like, how does he involve himself in this matchup? See, John Cena is a heel. And don't know if a chicken shit heel yet. Not sure about that, but I think he's going to have to be a little bit. And a chicken shit heel, by the way, for those watching, is not necessarily running and hiding and ducking your head, but when you're faced with your opponent, you take a little bit of a step back, and maybe another step back, to just show, just to give some space, like, okay, I understand how big this moment is, so I'm just going to take a step back. So I want to see how The Rock, toward the end of the match, or the beginning of the match, involves himself. Because I believe that the final boss will find his way to WrestleMania. I know that Triple H has said a lot of different things.
I can't believe you believe that. I still can't believe, after all this time, you still think that The Rock is just going to magically show up at WrestleMania.
Because it's magic, and it's WrestleMania, and they have a reason to be able to do these things. You just remember, listening to Triple H in these interviews, he always talks about how he's mad at the fans that figured things out. And he says, well, what about The Rock's schedule, all this stuff? Well, I think you'll find a way back there. Even though I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between The Rock and WWE, I think that he'll evolve himself somehow at the end of that matchup. That's, you ask me the thing I want to see, that's what I want to see.
To me, it's, is there a surprise out there? Like, we talked about the world title matches, they feel pretty chalky, but, like, is there something that's unexpected? Sometimes obvious works. I don't know if we're in that situation. Like, last year, Cody winning was obvious, and he ended up winning, and it created the moment, and it was a great ending. is there a surprise out there that we're not thinking of yet that, oh, this makes sense? Like, I've seen people on Twitter speculating that maybe Rollins and Heyman are dropping little nuggets that they're going to somehow be aligned with The Rock. I'd be fine with that if that's how night two ends. If there's something out there where it's like, oh, I remember Mania because of this moment.
Yes, Hikaleo being part of the Bloodline.
Oh, good.
who's been in the pipeline for months.
Yeah, he's been signed for, it feels like, 17 years at this point. Like, what are they waiting for?
Yeah, but whoa. Hey, WWE doesn't do that, Brian. What are you?
All right.
What are you talking about? Sign people.
I forgot that. Yes, my bad.
That's despicable behavior that WWE would never engage
in. How dare you?
Don't know where Shinsuke is, by the way.
Oh, what?
What's that now?
How dare you?
Yeah, look, I would be in for some sort of surprise. And hopefully Triple H has something like that where he's playing it close to his chest, because again, he seemed to be upset about everything in the interviews he's done this past week. Like, there's nothing, you know. Hey, just be like, when he finds out that fans are critical, I don't know if he listens to sports talk radio. I got a lot of Packer fans that just really are critical of the general manager on our show. Like, maybe that's just a Wisconsin thing. Maybe other fans are just happy with everything that happens within the product, and everything is just rainbows and sunshine. But once he finds out that fans can also be critical, that's going to blow his mind. I hope there's a surprise, because that's about the only thing I think that can completely save this from being a average WrestleMania. I don't think it's a below average WrestleMania, but, and maybe comparing it to last year, which I think was so good, especially with night one, night two really delivering, that's going to be tough to live up to, but it just feels like this one's lackluster a little bit.
Yeah, I think that those are the things. I mean, based on the matches, I don't know how much that you could shoehorn in as far as, like, oh, out of nowhere. That's what the Royal Rumble's for, quite frankly. That's when you do it, when you have someone out of nowhere coming down that's one of the entrants, women or men, by the way, either side. But I really believe that out of all the conjecture that's been out there regarding what's going to happen in this main event, it's not going to be straight up Cody against John Cena. There's going to be something. I don't mean, by the way, guys, it's a Chris Jericho match where the sun's got to be a certain way, then you pull this tights, and then you do this, and Bandito, and the mask. It's not that craziness. It's not the color by number stuff. I mean, it's going to be something strange will happen at the end. I think I mentioned this before. Like, Rollins could win this that three-way, but yet – actually, you know, I'll take it back. CM Punk could actually win, but Rollins could actually win the real prize, which is Paul Heyman. That could be.
I'm fine with that. Do we get the glass shattering Sunday night?
He's in town. Yes, he's in Vegas.
He lives out here, yeah.
Well, because he's going to be there because both him and Brett are going to be part of the Hall of Fame induction, because their match is the one that's being inducted. So he is going to be around. I don't know, maybe he decides just to go back to his Broken Skull Ranch and take care of his cats. I don't know. Like, it's truly a wild card with Stone Cold Steve Austin. You literally never know, which is part of, I think, what we
love. Odd relationship, right?
Yes.
Odd relationship. Like, he wasn't around that much for Vince Post, and then, like, he's in that one match against Kevin Owens, which was cool to see him back, but there's never, like, an obvious thing for Steve. Steve's like, I don't care if it's the 40th WrestleMania. I don't care about this or that. Like, I'm at home. Whatever you guys want to do, I'm not going
to
be part of it.
He doesn't know how to do, like, the Carney thing. Like, he knows how to say no to paychecks.
He's not good. Like, it's very weird. Undertaker. Oh, I'm sorry. Beg your pardon.
Things you're not supposed to say around.
I apologize. I didn't.
One guy's not going to town this weekend if you want to see the one-man taker show.
Struggling.
The one, no, one dead man. Isn't the one dead man show? Come on. Get the branding right, Brian.
Struggling
Come on.
To sell some tickets there for that. I see some empty seats. I noticed there for that. Brian will be there to cover it for us.
Not really on my list.
I don't need to see that show. By the way, all respect to Undertaker. I don't need to see the one dead man show. You know why? He's got a podcast. I hear a lot of these old stories already.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, there's a way to, I mean, we lived a lot of it. He's been one of the more, especially since he retired, like, he has been more than willing to, like, open up, take a look behind the curtain. now that he's no longer the Undertaker and, you know, he's just Mark Calloway. Like, he's completely cool with doing a lot of
I'd go stuff. See an indie show or four or five before I saw that. That's just for me.
I mean,
yeah.
Anything else that we think could be, again, I just don't see like a surprise waiting around the wings of, again, I don't expect to see The Rock. I don't expect to see Stone Cold.
Rock will be there. Rock will be
there. I mean, or an opponent, like if it's not Aldis, like do we you get want excited to be- for a Miro or an Alistair?
Miro.
But do you want... But whoever debuts against Orton is going to lose.
No, those guys don't lose, so. I don't know if you got the word on that one.
That's good.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem.
So you want me to come back and to lose.
yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, we're still paying you, pal. Like, the check's going to clear regardless. Like, just... Take an RKO and it'll be
Andrade or something. I don't know. Oh, by the way, another group that's not part of it. This what's the name of the group? God.
Phantasma.
Legado del Fantasma.
There you go. Yeah.
Nothing.
No, nothing.
After that great Birdo match we saw last week. Like those guys not involved at all. Like, okay,
AEW guys. Either are, you know, well, I guess Penta is, but no Ray Phoenix, no Andrade, like all these guys they brought over. Nope.
But hey, you get Ricky Starks versus Ethan Page on an NXT show. That's better.
Okay, that's fine. I'm in for that now. I'll watch you that. Are.
That's your guy.
And by the way, you didn't have to run Phoenix out there, quite frankly.
Right.
The day after Mania, he's out there. It's like, wow, Ray Phoenix made it. Now he shows up and it's like, oh, we don't see him in Mania.
Right. Okay.
You could have waited. They could have just waited, but they just wanted to stick it to AEW so bad. It's just amazing. As soon as he's released, it's like, yep, we got to put him on TV. Well, put him on the day after Mania and then bow, that's great, you know, fresh.
What? Here's the problem, though, Woody. Like, they got way too much TV time to fill right now with SmackDown being 3 hours. I don't know why they felt the need to go 2.5 hours with Raw this past Monday, but they did.
No. A lot of time to fill.
That's the ticket I would not have. I would not pay for a ticket the night before WrestleMania to a SmackDown or Raw because I'm not going to see it. I'll be looking at the screens the entire time.
Yep. What do we got at News and Notes this week, Brian?
All right. WWE executives making the rounds as part of WrestleMania week. And then President Nick Khan on the Bill Simmons podcast talking about talent being added, acquiring too much talent, said, quote, "That's not something we do. We won't sign and bench people. We sign people who we want to use. If another entity signs and benches people now, that's not something we would do."
Yes. And then Bill Simmons said, "So what do you think about the 81 Celtics?"
I mean, okay, so where's Omos? Where's Shinsuke? Like, you mentioned some of the other people that, you know, we thought were going to be part of the Bloodline story that have not been. Just a lie.
Hikuleo.
Just a lie. Sometimes creative doesn't have anything for you. Like, all right, then release some of these people.
Hours, how do you not have something for them?
Just to be brief, guys. We're in a wrestling war. It's an arms race. There's a lot of people benching AEW, that's true, but also people benched in WWE. And they don't do house shows anymore, so they're not working at all.
Right.
They're not on NXT. They're not on SmackDown. They're not on Raw. They're not on Speed. They're just sitting at the crib or in catering. This is a problem under Vince. It's a problem now. I know you can't get everybody on the card. We just talked about that, right? But the idea that you're going to lie and say that we don't acquire talent and bench them, of course you do. Of course you do. Because you can't – you can use everybody, but you don't use everybody. So, again, typical Triple H and Nick Khan, it's always during around this time, around WrestleMania, it's lying season to try to dissuade the public. That's not true. You do bench people.
Makes no sense. But hey, well, again, so she's there and things like that.
Yeah, but again, Natalya. I mean, when was the last time we saw Natalya on TV? Until she showed up for the women's tag team gauntlet match suddenly.
Yeah.
Apparently, she's going to be paired with Maxine Dupri. Okay.
So that's a great example of like of Natty Neidhart at Bloodsport tonight.
Yes,
he's at Bloodsport and also wrestling for the NWA.
Yep.
Does he sound benched?
Right.
I think so. He's all over the country.
That free time.
Like, what are you talking about? It's Natty Neidhart. You can't use her on the card?
Yeah.
She's at Bloodsport. She's going to get a leg broken on Bloodsport.
Because they wanted to make sure that they signed her and she wasn't able to go over to AEW for the Owen Harts.
Yep.
That's all it is. So again, Nick Khan, great businessman, liar.
Yeah. Well, they might be adding to that roster. New Japan this week announcing Naito will be leaving the company. Also, friend of show, Jeff Cobb announced that he is leaving New Japan. There are reports weeks ago that Cobb is expected to head to the WWE.
Mm. So, like, Bronson Reed, someone to take on Bronson Reed, guys, like, because that's a big dude. And, boy, he's up in age, guys. I hope that he can hold on because he's got a lot of wear on those tires from New Japan. Yeah. We love him on the show, obviously, but hopefully he'll get his, you know, get a nice run, get a good paycheck because he hasn't been on that surface, like, on that level in WWE. He had a cup of coffee, I think, in AEW a couple times, but now with him – yeah. But good for him. Get a good payday.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope he gets a good opportunity and not just wrestling the same person for 3 months straight like Andrade.
Yeah, speed, on speed.
Wrestling Observer Radio reporting Mariah May's time with AEW might be ending soon. Many believe she wants to head to the WWE.
Which I guess makes sense why they didn't main event their pay-per-view a couple weeks ago, right? Like if Tony Khan has an idea that she wants to leave the company after a contract is up and wants to go to WWE. Do you really want to showcase that talent in your main events? I don't know. But I think that makes sense. If everyone in AEW believes she wants to go to WWE and is going to after a contract expires, makes sense why, unfortunately, that main event caliber match did not main event Revolution a couple months ago.
You know what's different between the old days and today in wrestling? When you and our contract's supposed to be up this summer, you don't get the wrestlers, guys, that job out and make the company better and then leave. It's like you in AEW, you wrestle the match, you lose the match, and then you just disappear until your contract's up. Mm-hmm. The time honored tradition, pal, is you're supposed to job out and make the company better on your way out. And for whatever reason, AEW is like you lose and then you just disappear because. Yeah, you just get put to the side. She, by the way, she said, and a lot of young people feel this way in wrestling, she's always wanted to be in WWE.
Yep.
Just remember, these kids are like 25. All they know is WWE. They weren't getting the TNA pay-per-views in 05 to watch Christopher Daniels against Samoa Joe, right? There was not a lot of indies during that time. So for a lot of these young people, the whole thing is trying to get to WWE because that's all they know.
Yeah, and if you're AEW, you really can't compete with that. Like, yes, you can open up the pocketbook, the checkbook, and spend more money, but, like, if that's the dream, that's the dream, and that's something you can't fight with.
No, and
go ahead.
We talked about that with Johnny Gargano when he was a free agent.
Yes.
And, like, it made a ton of sense for him to probably go to AEW, especially with his wrestling style and the way he would have been showcased over there potentially. And, you know, he also talks about wanting to win an Intercontinental Championship and wrestle at WrestleMania, which – he's not doing either of those things this year, but he's the only way to have that potential to do that at WrestleMania 42 is to be on the WWE roster.
Yeah.
And Stephanie McCour is another example of wanting to be in WWE. AEW offered her much more money. I understand more money for McCour. And Stephanie is like, no, I just want to be in WWE.
Yeah.
And by the way, Shawn Michaels told Stephanie McCour, yeah, take AEW's money. Take the offer. And she's like, no, I want to be here. And Sean's like, okay, well, you got to work with me. You got to start at NXT. She's like, okay. So she's working for less to be on that level than all the money that AEW is going to offer, which is interesting.
I will also say when it comes to Mariah, like as good as the stuff was with Tony, you've talked about the hood about her not connecting. She feels like she gets lost in that WWE bubble.
Bakur?
No, Mariah. No.
Mariah May. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe she starts at NXT. And then it works her way up, right? I think that if you put her in WWE right now, she'd be cut in 2 years or less.
Yeah.
I just think – but she's good, But will she have that kind of caliber match in WWE like she had against Toni Storm? And I don't know I don't think that's the case. I don't think they put her in that spot.
Yeah, I agree. And finally, news and notes, AEW announcing some new shows this week. Fox Sports Mexico first report, AEW will partner with CMLL for their first ever show in Mexico. AEW Grand Slam Mexico takes place Wednesday, June 18th at the historic Arena Mexico.
Not shocking, not just because of the reports that came out, but given their willingness to work with other international companies, their willingness to go other places, they want to expand certainly into Mexico. They've partnered with CMLL plenty of times before. This is not shocking to me that something like this came together for them and their first Mexico show.
Also in your news and notes, I don't know if you have it there, SmackDown will be on a day before that, to mess with AEW.
Down the street in Mexico. Okay.
They also will have a show.
But yeah, good on them getting out there. And that's it for news and notes.
What did you boys have for your matches of the week?
That includes the, was it Dynasty? What's the pay-per-view? Was there a pay-per-view last week?
No. That was 2 weeks ago, yeah.
It includes historic Dynamite last night. It includes all that stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, it comes down to several matches on Dynamite from Boston. Great, another great venue choice for AEW, by the way.
It's perfect.
Oh, looked really cool too.
Yeah,
outside of Fenway Park,
I believe I think it was.
Great crowd, three levels of crowds in a music theater. Like, what is going on? It was crazy.
Even
the ramp,
the way they were able to utilize the ramp, that's even with the rain. Like, awesome venue.
So obviously it's great to see Athena on that level against Mercedes. It paid off and delivered. Should have been a pay-per-view match, but it was an Owen Hart semifinal. So, okay. I enjoyed that match.
Why did we race through? We still have like 6 weeks and forth before the tournament final at Double or Nothing.
To get Mercedes in Boston?
Sure, but...
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, most of the matches last night, you had that match, you had Hangman versus debut and Josh Alexander, you had Ospreay and Takeshita. Little nitpicking the back-to-back roll-ups to protect Alexander and Athena to start the night. Yeah. I'm going to spread that out a little bit, but like that was a pay-per-view last night. Even the main event, like I was disappointed the Death Riders were in the main event because we're riding this high and that's what we're going to get. But that was a pretty good feeling last night. That was a big pop for Joe getting that win and then winning the Trios titles.
It's one of the few times that you have a good feel when Dynamite goes off the air. It's one of the few times because they book heat like an MF-er, man. But what they did is that it was a good time popping champagne, and also it gave you the roadmap of if you're going to beat Jon Moxley, you need help. Swerve Strickland, Willow, even though the Bucks came down, they were able to push them to the side. He actually had a good moment with babyfaces, and they did their roles well. It's like, oh, this is what they do. This is what they do. Yeah, storytelling. Duh, of course. And so I thought that finally a happy moment. I was looking for a turn there, Gabe. I was looking at the end. I was like, so what's going to happen after the Ops and Hobbs win? Like, what's going to happen? Nothing. Just champagne. Like, oh, great. Happiness. Joy. Thank you very much.
Hey, Hobbs turned to join the Death Riders, though. Like, that would have worked. Now that you throw that out there, I would
have. Oh, no.
I didn't think about it until you said that.
Oh, God. Can we just have a happy moment to end Dynamite?
Hart,
we did.
You put it out there.
Oh, God. Thank God it didn't happen. And by the way, you leave the arena feeling happy.
Yeah.
If nothing else for Samoa Joe, right?
Yes.
If nothing else for Hobbs, right? Just like, he's got champagne and he's got the belt and everyone's happy. The babyface is finally won against the Death Riders. Like, and thank you, John, taking the loss. He took the loss there. Very good.
The only WWE match I think I had throughout the course, Phoenix and Berto.
Yeah, it's good.
Very good.
Ray Phoenix. Yeah, I mean.
My
guy Ray Phoenix, they're just letting him cook. Yeah, they're just letting him cook.
Yeah.
They don't care who he wrestles.
Phoenix is like, all right, Berto, we're homies, man. I got you. And Berto was cooking. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, what the hell's this been?
Right?
It's like, very good. Yeah, Phoenix is going to be a champion, man. It's going to be so freaking great.
Another AEW match from Saturday, Kevin Knight and AR Fox. Talk about two guys just like roll the ball out and let him go. That's what they did.
I don't want you talking about Aaron Fox. Enough of the Fox love.
He is
enough.
A Mania weekend staple. I'm not going to see him on indie shows this weekend.
Okay, so the three thumbs up. Mania weekend staple. That's where the nostalgia for AR Fox comes from for Brian Rowitz.
Any New Japan matches, Hood? You did some on site investigating, reporting.
Yes, I did it for GKW reporting. That's exactly what I was doing.
Live from the Windy City Riot.
That's right. Windy City Riot, Wind Trust Arena. Saw grown men cry when Tanahashi lost his match against Takeshita. And by the way, it's like Takeshita wrestling and did a great job on Friday. Oh, Saturday he's on Collision. I'm like, these guys travel, man. It's amazing. He had a great matchup, and all of a sudden I see him on Saturday. So that was great. Gabe Kidd, once you see him stateside more often, he's going to be a monster. He lost the match that he was in against the little guy. And I thought that Gabe Kidd was going to win, but the Gabe Kidd ends up losing. He's a tremendous talent. I think it's the first or second time I've seen him wrestle. Tremendous talent. And I thought that the card overall was like an A-, B+. Crowd was hot for everything. It's always strange, man. You go into – it's not like this show covers New Japan very often. So you go in there, it's just like they know all the chants. They know the little clap that they do beforehand. I'm just like, oh, I feel like I'm in a foreign land. So, yeah, it was fun.
Brian, what show outside of WrestleMania are you most geeked to go see while you're in Las Vegas?
I always love, it's part of WrestleCon, the Mark Hitchcock Memorial Show. Always a big fan of that. It includes this year, Minoru Suzuki versus Butterbean with Dan Severn as a rep. So, stuff like that. You can't see that every week.
Butterbean's getting in the ring?
Yep. One-on-one with the Hardcore Grandpa Suzuki.
Oh, wow. Last rites for Butterbean. He just got well from DDPY, from the yoga. Like,
so Minoru Suzuki is his reward at the end of that rainbow.
Wow.
I mean, okay. I guess Gunther obviously wasn't available. He's kind of busy, but
oh man,
stiff chop city, baby.
So he's gonna see four shows, and everything will be covered on YouTube. All of our shows and all the content from Vegas at WrestleMania will be covered on our YouTube, Good Karma Wrestling on YouTube. It's going to be fun, Gabe. Brian, it's going to be a fun time. And we've got a lot of shows and a lot of content for our listeners and viewers for this weekend.
Again, so no show next Thursday, but in the meantime, we're going to have a live show after WrestleMania Saturday, live show after WrestleMania Sunday, and a live show Monday after they wrap up on Netflix with the Raw after WrestleMania. A lot of live shows coming your way. So just keep it right here all throughout WrestleMania weekend on GKW.